It's good to start worship off with a laugh, isn't it, this morning? I'd invite you to stand with me and for a prayer and the reading of today's gospel lesson. Lord, we offer ourselves up to you and pray that your Spirit would pour out into our hearts and our minds and open our ears and allow us to receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers and evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." "I tell you," Jesus said, "that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, please. Judging others. In 2005, I joined a small accountability group in our home church, and for the next years, I would faithfully attend every Tuesday night. It was at this group where six or seven guys would meet and check in each week, asking the same question each week. What was your closest moment with Christ? What was your furthest moment away from Christ? How is your prayer life? How is your devotional life? Knowing that I was going to be held accountable helped push me towards my walk in my Christian life. It wasn't a time of pointing fingers and laughing at others. It was time of deep spiritual growth. It was a time when we exposed the darkness of our lives to each other and lifted each other up in prayer and genuinely loved each other. It was during this time that I could see glimpses of heaven. And I say glimpses of heaven because you could see God working in these men's lives. Prayers being answered, movement of the Spirit. There were trials as well, but you could just tell they were exchanging a life of illusion, the real world, the world that Scripture tells us not to worry about, for a life of heaven here on earth. And I'm reminded as we go through that when we judge others, when we point the finger to others, one finger is pointing away at them and three are pointing back at ourselves. And so it was a beautiful time of spiritual growth for me, a time when the writing was on the wall. Do you get it? The writing's on the wall. No, seriously, he did it. It wasn't a time of pointing fingers, but entering into a community, a Christian community, full of love and accountability. It was during this time that I came to meet, through prayer, Keith, which was one of the members' brothers. Bill had been lifting him up to us and to the Lord for over a year. I didn't know him personally. I couldn't even have picked him out of a lineup if I tried. But I just knew there was something that needed to happen in his life to help him understand the writing on the wall, to help him experience the grace and love of Christ. You see, Keith was, well, he was middle-aged, had a couple kids. His kids were grown and out of the house, and He was working hard, but life had become boring. His marriage had become boring. And as a result, he ended up taking on a second job. Not that he needed the money, but he just needed a way to fill the dull hours of the day. So he took on this second job, and it wouldn't be long before someone caught his attention. A young woman showered him with affection. Things started to spiral downward. Within 6 months, he lost everything that he had: his house, his wife, his marriage, sometimes even the clothes on his back. He actually gave one of his cars over to a pawn shop to put money in his pocket. He had lost his job. This young woman had lured him to a life of partying and experimenting with crack cocaine. And crack cocaine took its hold on his life. He lost everything. As a matter of fact, there were times when he would try to stay at his mother's house. And being a mother, she would invite him in. But what she didn't know is that he was pillaging from her, stealing anything he could of value, taking it to the local pawn shop to get money for a fix. It got to the point where he finally hit rock bottom. And what rock bottom for Keith was that he was caught forging checks that he stole from his mother. Bill received a call from the county jail where Keith was locked up. Keith would spend the next 90 days in jail with no hope, just the cold reality of being kicked to the curb by his own choices. And we continued to pray. Surprisingly, Bill prayed for strength and courage to provide an opportunity to his brother to help him see the love of Christ. And after 90 days of jail, Bill offered his home to Keith. Just a one-bedroom, 3 meals a day, a place to rest his head. Being part of the group, I offered him a job, not by my giftedness or anything like that, just by the grace of God. And what's interesting about this photo, besides the clover leaf, may as well laugh now, but I want you to take a close look at Da Vinci's rendition of this. God is extending every muscle in his body to reach out to a man who is reclined, barely lifting a finger. We have those moments to be like God, to reach into the messiness of someone's life, to help them out. It was a long year and a half. The first time I met Keith face to face, he was a hard man to look at. Skin and bones. It's amazing what the drugs had done to his body. We'd go to a job site and he'd be riding along with me, and all of a sudden he'd break out into a sweat. His body convulsing, reacting to the new choices that he was trying to make. Desperately trying to call him back to a life with a crack pipe. You can take that one off. But we got through it. We did. It was a journey that I'll never forget, a journey of trials, a journey of prayer, a journey of accountability. A journey that would end up with a phone call one morning, 2 hours before I was supposed to pick him up. Keith, on the other end, I backslid. I stayed at a party all night. Can you come pick me up? I told him, I said, well, the first thing I have to do is call your brother. I got to let your brother know. He begged me and pleaded with me not to do so. I said, I can't. I'm accountable to your brother. We got through it. We got through it. And over the next 6 months, Keith gave his life to Christ. A transformation started to happen in him. He started to attend church weekly. You could see God working in his life. He joined a men's fraternity, men's group. God was working mightily. I'll never forget the winter of 2010-2011. It was between Christmas and New Year's, and we were on our way to Columbus to check out a job site. And as I got off 71 at the stoplight there, it was cold. It was wintertime. And I happened to look over, and I saw this typical homeless man standing there, skinny as a rail, holding up the normal, I am homeless, can you help? God bless you sign. Without even thinking, I reached for my wallet and I opened it up and I just grabbed all that was in it. I rolled down my window and I called him over and shoved it into his hand. And with a loud booming voice, he said, thank you and may God bless you. I mean a booming voice. And I told him, I says, he already has. May he bless you as well. I rolled up the window. The light turned green. We went on our way. I didn't think much about it until Keith tore into me. What were you thinking giving that money to him? Your hard-earned money, giving it away to a junkie. I said, well, he probably needed it more than I did, and I can always get more from where that came from. He says, you don't understand. I was on that corner. I was holding that sign. I know what he's going to do. He's going to leave and go and get a fix. Matter of fact, I could probably show you where he's going to go and get that fix. And I was confounded by his reaction. Here somebody had been touched by God in the same situation, and he was judging somebody else. And I said to Keith, I said, what if that measly $40 is the $40 it takes to turn his life around? And he said, it doesn't matter. He's too far gone. It doesn't matter. So I asked him, I said, Keith, what if somebody didn't care enough about you and didn't give you the opportunity to receive God's grace? His posture changed. He slumped down in his seat. Silence, long silence. And then tears started to flow. He got the reality of what I was talking about. How can somebody who has fallen short of the glory of God, kicked to the curb, judge someone else that's at the curb? I think that's part of who we are. We forget about God's saving grace in our lives. We forget about how he's touched and embraced our lives and saved us. Who can be justified by God? Who can be saved by his grace? Can the righteous? No, by no means. For as the scripture tell us, there is none that are righteous. It is only the sinner that can be saved by grace. The righteous need no repentance, and therefore the righteous need no forgiveness. John Wesley writes, it is only sinners that have any occasion for pardon. It is sin alone that admits being forgiven. This parable reminds us that we have to be low in order to be raised up. It's not whether we give our 10% or attend worship weekly or pray till the cows come home that brings us forgiveness. No, I dare argue, it's admitting that we are in need of God's grace. We are fallen. We are sinners. And the fruit of our works does not stem from our desire to get right with God. Our fruits flow naturally from the grace that we have received. Not to be righteous, but out of thankfulness for being forgiven. Oh, and by the way, because he can, God can always build upon a teachable moment, can he not? 2 weeks after witnessing God teach Keith about grace, I leaned over to Keith in a men's fraternity meeting and asked him if he had saw the homeless person that had become instantly famous and was on the Today Show. He said, yeah, Ted Williams, the golden voice. I leaned in closely. I said, that was him. That was who we gave our money to. That was God working through Ted to teach you and solidify this lesson. And he began to weep. Since then, Ted has fallen. He's stumbled. But he's also risen again. And he's just published a new book. And the title escapes me. I'm sure that it's The Golden Voice with God's Power or something like that. You could Google it. But he gives all the glory and credit to God. I may never see Ted again. But I obeyed what God put on my heart that day. And I just wonder, what is God doing in your life? How is God speaking to you? Who are you looking past? Who are you pointing a finger at? Who are you kicking to the curb? I hope you remember the grace that you've received and that you go from this place full of that grace to give, not to hold up and keep it for yourself. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we come before you to admit that we are nothing but sinners in need of your saving grace. And we thank you for that beauty, that love, and that mercy that you give us. Help us to be filled with your Spirit so that when we leave, we won't turn a blind eye to someone in need. We'll give what we can. And help us to be humbled. Amen.